Today's Perek in Tanakh is Malachim Beit, Perek Vav. And so we ended the career of Gehazi yesterday, or at least we thought we did. As we'll see, he comes back onto the scene. Vayomru b'nei hanevi'im el Elisha, hinena hamakom asher anachnu yoshvim sham lefanecha tsar mimenu. So Chazal say, obviously, this is a continuation of the previous story. Having ended the career of Gehazi, we suddenly find that Elisha's yeshiva expands tremendously. And now the Talmidim are saying, good heavens, there's no place to sit around here. There's no room. We need a new building. So apparently, because Gehazi was there, it used to be doche, the Talmidim, from coming in. You could learn that means bepashtus, doche, literally doche, if he wanted to keep things under his control. But the deeper understanding is that the very fact that Gehazi was such a cynic and had so denigrated the power of Elisha kept people away from Elisha. They didn't come to learn by Elisha. The moment that Gehazi left, so indeed the shame of Elisha became more powerful, the power of Elisha to attract people, which was remarkable. The whole point of Gehazi, the whole point of the Nar, as we saw, was only to provide a gateway to dealing with people. And here, the fact that that gateway ends up becoming a barrier is what happens where that Nar becomes someone who's looking out for himself. And clearly that's what happened at the end. He was looking out for himself. So it turned out as if that's exactly what Elisha told him, which is fascinating. That's the remez. I mean, it's not a remez. The activity of a Nar is essentially to be Yosef. To be Yosef HaTzadik. In other words, the Mida of Yosef, in terms of the Mida of Yesod, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of Malchus, Bashir ben Yosef, Bashir ben David, is specifically never to take anything for yourself. That's the whole point of Yosef. That was the Ayin Shelo Ratzta not Bimasha'ino Shelo, which is the opposite of Mitzera. Ayin Ra'a. Mitzora, the Motzi Shem Ra, is also Misha'ino Ra, Babriyas, and so on. That's why it says, Upinu Atabayit, because he's always claiming it's an adverse thing. So, okay, Upinu Atabayit, now let everybody have you see what it is that you have. Here, in acting in such a way, Gehazi violates the primary Mida of the Nar, which is never be a person. You have to be a modality for relationship. And therefore, Gehazi comes out, was the one who destroyed the relationship that Elisha had with Talbidim because they ended up relating to Gehazi, which is not particularly plausible, and therefore was a pagan. Nelchana ada yardain v'nikha misham ish kora achat v'nase lanu sham makom l'shevet sham. Now, this in itself is very fascinating because up until now, the entire relationship that we see of these B'nai HaNevi'im, certainly at the time of Eliyahu, was that they were otherworldly. Because we never heard about them being Osek in things, doing things, building things. They were out in the woods, so to speak. And when Eliyahu attracts Elisha to him, he has to leave his whole life behind. So he doesn't have money, he doesn't have tools, you know, he burns his jaguar and leaves it all behind, walks off with Eliyahu. And what we've seen is that Elisha, in returning, after he asks for the Pishnayim Ruchacha, is that his own approach is consistently the opposite. It's consistently to become part of things, because Eliyahu was driven on rare occasions to be part of things. Elisha is involved in everyday life. And this seems to be now, after the curing of Naaman and the getting rid of Gehazi, and the direct connection to Elisha, which was never there before. Everybody's talking to Elisha, you know, we would like to build a new Beis HaMedrash. Okay, he says, you can do that. Which until now, I mean, what do you need a Beis HaMedrash for? You can learn outdoors, live in the wilds, sleep in your sleeping bags. All of a sudden, we're going to build a nice yeshiva. And they were going to put it next to the Yarden. Of course, the Yarden has significance to him. Everything is done with the Yarden. He was born near the Yarden. So he says, go. Vayomer ha'echad. One of the boys says to him, would you come with us? Ho el na v'lechet avadecha. Please, come with us. Vayomer ani elech. Okay, I'm going to go. But this change is not only a change in the number of Talmudim. It's a change in perception of their own relationship with Elisha. A chutzpah. Ask Elisha to come with you because you need to build a building. And he senses that his presence is not a different kind of presence. He'd like you to be with us when we're doing things. So we'll build a building together. So how much? Each guy will cut down one korah to make the roof, and we'll have ourselves a building in no time flat. A barn raising. So that's the change, and the number of people that are coming into change. So there's a tremendously significant development here in the loss of Gehazi.
Do we know where Elisha was at this time before?
Let's wait for that, because it's also fascinating. Vayelach itam, and he goes with them. Vayavo hayardena, they come to the yarden. Vayigzeru hayitzim, they cut the wood. Vayiachad mapila kora, v'tabarzel nafal alamayim. One of them is cutting now the tree to use as a kora. So they needed to have these large beams. And the kora, together with the head of the axe, falls into the water. So eta barzel, most of us understand, not that it caused the barzel as the object of a verb, but rather together with as the object of a preposition. So they came now and fell into the water, and of course the barzel sunk. Vayitzak, and so the cutter said, oh no! Ahadoni v'hushaul. This was borrowed. So if it'd be mine, it wouldn't bother me. But belongs to somebody else. It's also a gilui of the midas and the responsibility and so on. What am I going to do now? I promised somebody I'm going to give it back to him. I can't give it back to him. Vay. Vayomer ish Elohim ananafa. Where did it fall? Vayar eilet hamakom. He shows him the place. Vayiktsov eitz. He cuts a piece of wood to size. Vayashlech shama. He throws it there. Vayatzaf habarzel. And the eitz falls, and the barzel floats. Because I'll compare this to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef, of course. So when it was time to be matzif, the aronosha Yosef, says the matter. So what's the pella? So Moshe Rabbeinu said to the aronosha Yosef, look, you know, we're leaving. Either you come up now, or we're going without you. So at that point, aronosha Yosef was all of itself lamala. And he took it. And he says, okay, Talmidei Shel Moshe. What's the big deal? So he's Rabbi Shekhar Nevi'im, to be Vayotzef HaBarzel. The Ralbag, who has the Derech always of being Mamayat in Nisim. The Ralbag was very much a rationalist. So he understands that what he did was he cut a piece of wood to fit into the metal. Except that the handle, the original handle, did not have enough displacement to be able to cause the entire axe to float. Took a large piece of wood and then threw it directly on the spot where the barzel was. And the beauty of it was that it went right into the barzel. And then the whole thing floated up, of course. Okay. But it's a rationalness. It's not a violation of Teva. That's the point. And we pointed out that in general, that's the whole idea of bringing Nisim down to earth, so to speak. So it's, you know, how this is done, it's really just better technology. Vayomer, and so he says to the guy who dropped it, Haremlach, pick it up. Vayishlach yadov yikacheo, he stretches out his hand and he takes it. Now, you'll notice, this is the point where it becomes most noticeable. The truth is, if we go back, we'll see that it's been a pattern from the beginning, but we kept excusing the pattern. This is the first time that it becomes really inexcusable. Obviously, pick it up. Wasn't that the point? You're crying that you don't have it. I make it float, so I need to tell you, okay, dum-dum, pick it up. What do you think I just did that for? Okay, so before when it came to the Pach HaShemen, we say, okay, then maybe there was a change in the market, so she asked him, should I sell it or shouldn't I sell it? So he has to explain that it's a good time to sell, or maybe it's additional bracha. I mean, but the truth is, when he went in, it was Bechaya the child. So what does he say? He said, okay, take your child. Thanks a lot. How did you think I was going to leave it by you? I mean, of course I'll take the child. Thank you very much. I'll take the child. This becomes a very important theme that we're going to see in the continuation of the parak, is that what it is that Elisha achieves needed to be recognized as not being in the rishus of any person until they're given rishus. That's the point. So I understand you did something. It doesn't mean it's for me. Okay? You tell me I have rishus to go take it, I'll go take it. You tell me I have rishus to use this shaman, I'll use the shaman. You tell me I have the right to take my child back, I'll take my child back. But I understand that in terms of what nature has given me rights on, I don't have rights. I lost my rights. Which even La Loch is true. It falls into the water. It's going to be the end of your balut. If somebody dies, which I say to your child, not your child. It's like a new bria. So therefore, there was a clear-cut recognition that indeed it isn't ours. And you'll notice how much this contrasts with Achav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this whole Nes, Alpi Navi, and he's able to capture now the king of Aram. And that's why now it was considered to be such a chet. Oh, so now he's yours to make a peace treaty with. Achi, goodbye. It's not yours. It's not up to you. Don't you understand? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I arrange this whole thing for you to say goodbye to the one that I bring you. This now all is an introduction to Achav's son's own response to this type of nes. And he has to be mitakein what it was that Achav did. And it comes out to be extremely, extremely mirrored the Hanhoges, as we'll see. Melech Aram, haya nilcham b'Yisrael. Now, they used to, all the time, we saw before that Aram was Yatsu Gedudim, and that Melech Aram was interested in eating away, chipping away at Israel. So he would have these inner cabinet meetings, and without letting the name out, because only Ploni Almoni, he would only tell his closest advisors what the name is. This is a way of saying that this is top secret, Ploni Almoni. Obviously, they knew where the place was. But it was a top secret place. This is where we're going to set up now an ambush for Melech Israel. And that's where we're going to get them. Vayishlach Isha Elohim al Melech Yisrael Emor, Hishamer me'avar ha-makom hazeh, Tisham aram nechitim. Now, every time that they did this, and this is a whole new activity of Elisha, and what it means, I want to close the door, what it means is that until now we understood that there was a responsiveness of Elisha to particular events. Not that there's a general knowledge of what's going on in the world. This new thing of the awareness of Elisha to be such that nothing goes on without his knowing about it is an astounding new level. So in other words, even though there doesn't seem to be any relationship between the two stories, the fact that now he is part of building the Beis HaMedrash, awareness of what everybody's personal needs are, response instantly, allows him now to become the know-it-all. So if someone is planning in Damascus an attack or an ambush on Bnei Yisrael, he simply sends an SMS to the king, you know, avoid such and such a location, such and such coordinates. Now, this happens again and again. And so, Vayishlach Melech Yisrael al Makom, the king would send now to see if it's true. Asher Amar Lo Ish Elohim, V'Yizhiro, and he would warn now there, V'Nishmarsha, the people would be careful. But this happens again and again. Lo Achat, Lo Shtai, it's going to happen once or twice. This happens dozens of times. Now, the king of Aram is picking up the fact. It's impossible that every time I set up a perfect ambush, that they're always aware of the ambush, unless we have a spy. He's convinced someone in the inner cabinet is a spy, because this is absolutely top secret stuff. But Yisrael leiv melech Aram al hadavar hazeh, he started to go crazy over this. Vayikra lav adav, vayomer lahem, he calls in his absolutely reliable people. He says, halo tagidu li mi mishalanu ha-melech Yisrael. Look, somebody's got to figure out. We have a mole. Oh, who is the mole? How does he get the messages to the king? Vayomer achad mi avadav lo adani ha-melech. You're missing the point. Ki Elisha ha-navi, asher b'Yisrael, yagid le-melech Yisrael at ha-dvorim asher tedaber b'chadar mishkavecha. You might think you're talking in your bedroom, under the bed and between the sheets. And the king is immediately going to know what you're talking about. Now, this obviously is an extension of Naaman. Oh, so Naaman becomes aware of the fact that it's not a question of magic and some type of waving one's hands. It's an mu'uravut, it's an involvement in nature, which is such that you become now an extended awareness, a hyper-consciousness, and therefore it's not as if anybody's even listening. It's just that in the same way, Kavayochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows everything. The Navi knows everything. Kim Gilat Sodo Elav Adav HaNaviim. So this now becomes the hyper-awareness of a Navi, which again is a whole new getter. Remember, until now we saw Naviim are the communicators. In Elisha, we have found that the Koach HaNaviyas is a Koach of Asiyah. In other words, Kiyesh Navi B'Yisrael means that there's someone who can tell you your tzarat is cured. Why is that? Yesh Navi B'Yisrael. So in other words, it means that the Koach that allows Nevuah creates now a different type of human being. This part of the parak is Megala, that what we're talking about over here is a different level of awareness in which it doesn't require a specific communication HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Elisha and says, Elisha warned the king. And this guy understands that. So you don't understand. Whatever it is that you will plan, by definition, they know. So that's the point here. Yeah.
And Gehazi was around. He didn't even know that the woman's son died.
Yeah, we spoke about that. But that's not necessarily because of Gehazi. It could be because at that point, that was the way that he was uninvolved. And the Gehazi was meant to be the connection. Now that the Gehazi connection, there's somehow either a direct connection, we'll see there's a new Nar that comes up in the next part of the story. And so, it's all about Elisha. Well, Yomer, so the king says, aha. So then, lechur u'echahu, v'shlach v'kacheil. Go find out where he is, and I will send an army, and we shall take him. So they tell him, well, you know where he hangs out. He hangs out in Dotan. Now, you asked before where he is. Now, obviously, when somebody is in Dotan, and you're talking about the Malchut of Yosef, that's extremely important. Yeah? Because Dotan is the place. The only time that we find Dotan mentioned is where Yosef was completely and totally to'eh. So, you know, to'eh baderech, which is what happens to Aram here. They become to'im, complete to'im, as we'll see. And a malach needs to appear to tell you where you're going, where you should be going. So you think you're going to Shechem, you really should be going to Dotan. But as Rashi says, Dotan is also the mokom in which there are holech to be mavakish lachem nichlei datot. So that means that Dotan was the failure of Bnei Yisrael because it became the most rotten aspects of religion. That's what utilized the how do you say nochel again in English? Niflay? Fraud. What more powerful than fraud? Scheming, yeah. Religious scams, right. Niflay, that's a very good word. Religious scams. So it's people, if they're religious, they can always figure out a reason why what they're doing is right. So that becomes now the destruction of the entire chibur between Yisrael and Yehuda. That's the place where Yosef ends up being sold. It's really Dotan. So in the context of Malchus Yisrael that is failing because of its lack of chibur to Malchus Yehuda, Dotan becomes very significant. And the fact that Elisha sets up shop in Dotan means that it's precisely that he's dealing with. So that when he lives in Dotan, and they send to Dotan, and Naaman would come to Dotan, this is an amazing scene. So that it means that what you have over here is a guy who's looking for religion in Dotan. And Elisha says, no, it's not going to be any of that stuff. And it's there that he learns that, Hinami, it's truth is truth. There's no waving of hands. There's no speaking in the name of the Lord. None of that stuff. And that's what, in fact, is so impressive, as we saw, to Naaman. So they tell the king that he's in Dotan. Now, the Malbim points out, it's a little strange. I mean, if he understands that the reason that all of his plans are ruined are because Elisha's in Dotan, how the heck does he expect to get Elisha? Right? So therefore, the Malbim learns that actually what he wanted to do is to use Elisha to be mechaved him, to make him our great soothsayer. So he didn't appreciate what Naaman appreciated. He thought this guy's like a Bilam, he's a magician. He's a magician, he's working for the Melech Yisrael. We can give him better terms. That's how the Malbim understands it. So we'll make him an offer he can't refuse. Okay, fine. That's not the Pashtus. The Pashtus, I mean, is he figured, well, with enough power, you can even get the Navi. So, all right. So he sends now an army. He sends heavy artillery down there to Dotan. Here they surround the whole city. Now, there's no way the Navi's going to get out of this one. So early in the morning, the Misharet, now he's got somebody who's working for him again. He wakes up early. Vayetzi, he goes outside. And he sees surrounding the city is an entire army. Royal life comes running into the house. Ah, Adoni! What do we do now? Vayomer, you got a problem? Believe me, we got more people on our side than they have on their side. So Elisha prays, Vayomar, Adonai, pekach na einav v'yireh. Open up his eyes. Let him see. The poor kid's scared. Vayivkach Adonai et einei ha-na'ar. And God opens up the boy's eyes. Vayar. V'nei ha-har malei susim v'rechav eish sivivod Elisha. All around Elisha, the mountains are surrounded by these fiery soldiers. And what's amazing is my Rebbe used to point out all this fantastic. There was no Nathan over here with fiery soldiers. Nothing, they're never used for anything. There's no battle. This all becomes a Star Wars story. So what do we need the battle? We'll see in a moment. He does the old Obi-Wan Kenobi trick. So what do you need all of these star? What do we need all these figurines for around him? So obviously, the only thing that's happening over here is to provide the psychological solace for this boy. But why does he need it? Well, we need a miracle that he should open his eyes. The opening his eyes is all opposite of what it is that was about to take place. So it's an extremely strange situation. The only explanation would be that indeed if the boy was unconvinced of the clarity of their situation, it's destructive for the ability of Elisha to work. The same thing that happens with Gehazi. You could take my mishenet and you start joking about it, it's not going to work. So if you go out there and you're worried, you know, so bad vibes. We can't have bad vibes around here, right? So this boy sees now, the Medrash says the same thing happened by Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Klal Yisrael asks Moshe, so what's going to be? The Egyptians are out there. So when are we going to be saved? So relax, be saved in the morning. We can't take it till morning. So Moshe is Mispah, let them see. The same words, Kirabim Hashem. So also HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows them as if they have this whole army on their sides, the Malachim. But the army is meaningless in the end. It's just psychological. And so, what happened here? Vayadu Elab. And so the soldiers start coming in. Vayitpalel Elisha Adonai Vayomar. So Elisha asks, a moment ago he said, open up the boy's eyes. Now he says, Hachnat agoy hazeh b'sanverim. Sanverim does not mean, as people think, blindness. It doesn't mean that they were blind. It means that they don't know what they're seeing. They think they're seeing perfectly well. Vayakim b'sanverim kidvar Elisha. And indeed, they, just like in Sodom, vayahiku b'sanverim, they thought that they're seeing the door. They're not seeing the door here too. They think that they're seeing perfectly well. Vayomer Aliyan Elisha. So Elisha says to them, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Loza, this is not the place you're looking for. Velo Zoahir, it's not the city you're looking for. Oh, no, this is not the city we're looking for. Okay. Luchu Acharai. Follow me, and I'll take you. Volicha etchem ala isha asher tevakesh. I'll bring you to the man you're looking for. Oh, great, thank you. So they all start following Elisha, and he marches the entire Aram army right into the middle of Shomron, where they're surrounded by the Melech Yisrael's soldiers. And, okay, now that they're in Shomron, Vayikavod Shomron, Vayomer Elisha, okay, Adonai, Pekachet Einei Eila V'yiru, open up their eyes. Vayipakach Adonai Teineyem, Vayiru V'yinei B'tov Shomron, oh no, how do we get here? So here they are in the stronghold of Melech Yisrael. So much for the plans of capturing Elisha. Vayomer Melech Yisrael Elisha kir oto otam. Now this is so remarkably and so blatantly against Ahav. Having learned the lesson about the bitter lesson of Ahav, well, you let the guy go after I deliver him into your hands and I get all of this done so that you should be able to capture Aram and you send them away. So now he figures, okay, so now what? Now I guess I'm a chuyuv to kill them. So he says to Elisha, Ha'akeh avi. First of all, look at the cover. My father. This is avi, avi, rechem, yisrael, forosho, which is Elisha's words to Eliyahu. So he says to Elisha, so am I meant to destroy them? Vayomer, he says, what? Destroy them? Why would you destroy them? That class? He thinks he's finally going to be mitakein, what Achav does.
Yeah,
what? Are you crazy? Destroy them? Ha'asher shavita b'char b'chol v'kashtecha ta'makeh. One way of reading this is, that's what you usually do when you capture captives. You kill them. The other way of reading it, did you capture these guys with your cherev and your keshet that you should go now and kill them? I captured them. You didn't do anything. Why should you have a right to kill them?
How is somebody supposed to keep up with this?
You can't get it right.
Yeah. It's like being married.
Yeah. Exactly. It is. It's an amazing thing.
Oh.
So clearly the subtleties of the situation are definitive of the action in such ways that it was the very fact that he was ready to ask, which was, can I take your child? Pick up the axe. So what do I do? So don't jump to any conclusions. We're bringing these soldiers to you. I say, make a party. Sim lechem umayim lifneim. V'yochlu v'yishtu. V'yochlu al adoneihem. Actually, I think this is a great opportunity for peace on our terms. Send back the army after having fed them and treated them properly. And maybe that way we'll get the message. Vayichrelehem keiragidola. And so, indeed, this is, by the way, becomes the makor of the word zachar. Zachar is zekar, meaning that when a zachar comes to the world, he comes with his own attaché case. Where do we say that kar? Because he's basically, he's still a miniature, but he's going out there to make money. Where do we see that kar is a lashon of to have that your needs, your parnasa? Vayichrelehem keiragidola. We bring a raya from here. So he made this enormous su'uda. Vayachlu, vayishtu, vayishalchim, vayachlu el adonihem. And so he sends them out. They go back to their master, the king of Aram. V'lo yasfu od gedudei Aram lavo b'eretz Yisrael. That was the last time they tried that kind of shtick. And so there was no longer any gedudim that would come into Eretz Yisrael. So apparently there was some actual political benefit to what it is that he did. He stopped the terrorism, and he stopped the attacks of these small bands. However, he did not stop the war. And remarkably, it appears even that Melech Yisrael, who we keep refusing to name, as if his chus, whereas we're in Yehoram here, refuses to believe that this was the right thing to do. Yeah, so that afterwards, when there really is a war, he is furious at Elisha. Because he really had an opportunity to teach them a lesson, do something. And Elisha is the one who tells him, no, let's make peace. Before, when his father tried that. And so now he's cursed. And all he wanted to do was do what we were supposed to do in the first place. No, now we have to make peace.
Is it an issue of timing? Circumstance?
It's davar b'ito, not tov. Everything needs to be very subtly balanced in terms of your awareness of what it's meant to achieve, how it's meant to achieve it, what the relationships are, and so on. I mean, it's obvious from the reading of the story of Achav with the Achi and with the way in which they saw that in a superstitious fashion. It was nafel al piv Achi and all the entire absurd, overly malchi chesed that they had wanted to take advantage of initially. We pointed out there that the whole situation that we have contemporarily with this attitude is merumas there in the story of Achav, along with all of its destructive import. But that doesn't mean that we are not people who seek to achieve the ends of defense without needing to be violent about it. So where it came to punitive action. So Elisha was the one who went out to destroy Moab. I mean, it has nothing to do with his personality, obviously. He's ready to kill, maim, and destroy as necessary, and with his neviut. It's not like the signon of Elisha is necessarily a peaceful signon. So obviously, it was specific to this nekuda to prevent the yitziat gedudim. However, we know very well that Elio was already told back on Har Sinai that he's supposed to, in the end, be Moshe Chazael al Aram, which hadn't happened yet, which is only going to take place through Elisha, his Talmud, and which is going to be horrifically destructive for Yisrael. So there was no point in destroying Aram. Aram was not meant to be destroyed. Aram was meant to be the foil for Malchus Yisrael. This is an opportunity for them to be metaken, but if they're not metaken, then what's coming is total war. And this is the continuation of the perek. And so we have a remarkable story in which the entire idea is built around perceptions, which of course is central to the whole idea of Elisha. As we've said all along, the point of reducing nes to the everyday is the recognition that what we perceive as nes is just perceptions. And therefore, this story brings out more than any other the fabulous nature of that idea, which is why it does this little game, don't you see? It's contrasting opening up the eyes of the boy. But opening up the eyes of the boy was totally irrelevant. Perhaps there were malachim all around Elisha, but they were irrelevant as Rechev Esh and Chayalei Esh. They certainly were not going to attack Aram. What was going to attack Aram? Absolutely nothing. Aram's own perceptions. These aren't the droids you're looking for. That's all that's necessary to do for Aram, which is entirely perception. So within one paragraph, we have open up the eyes to see something that's irrelevant. Close the eyes not to see something relevant. Open up their eyes again to see now where they are in a way that would be, to them, disaster, which ends up being a party. So the entire story is built around the way in which Elisha's activities are perceptual activities. And therefore, what we perceive as this nason, that nason, is all perception. And this, of course, goes on now into the next part of the story, which will only end in the next parak, in which the entire Hatzolah of Aram becomes a matter of Aram's perceptions. They think that they're under attack. They're under attack by the Egyptians. Help, get us out of it. Nobody's attacking. Nothing's happening. And yet the entire Anhaga, you see, from the beginning of this story until the end, was entirely one of how it is that you look at the issues. Yeah. And that's exactly what Rabbi Hanina ben Daish says. What's your problem? You're used to things that are able to release their energy chemically, being oily. Okay, so you have your silly needs. Don't worry about it. Exactly the same idea. What, you think space necessarily needs to be Euclidean, three-dimensional? It doesn't fit. It fits in hyperspace. That's really not a problem. And of course, that too is part of the Orin Enam in Aminyan. It's part of the nature of things. It's not that something like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishane, Darkei Shaloilam. It's just a different level of nature. Yeah. And so after Lo Yasfu Od Gidudei Aram Lavo Beretz Yisrael. That's all very nice for Gidudei Aram. However, what happened afterwards is that not Gidudei Aram came, but afterwards Vayacharechen Vayikbots Ben Adad Melech Aram Et Komachaneo Vayal Vayotzar Al Shomron. This time, instead of the Gidudei Aram planning these little ambushes, which we understand that, you know, they've got inside information, and the Navi knows everything about, and he'll just play with us. Certainly, he's not going to play with the entire nation and the army now, is he? Let's see him play with that. Ha! And so, the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, which was a general term for Melech Aram, takes the entire army of Aram, and he makes a siege against Shomron. And nobody's going to come out and play games with us this time. Ra'av gadol b'Shomron was a disastrous Ra'av. This is one of the ten Ra'av that are Ra'av that cover everything. The 7-year Ra'av we'll see later on that was made now horrifically worse with the actual fact that they were tsar. They weren't allowing any food. Whatever food there would have been wasn't allowed in. So Ra'av gadol b'Shomron to boot v'nei tsarim alas. You see, there were two different issues, which means that this is part of the Ra'av to see later on. Again, all of this is out of order because we're trying to focus, particularly, and if anything is a raya to the importance of the focus on the nais, it's the fact that we're throwing out chronology for that purpose. We're literally focusing on Elisha as part of the story of Sefer Melachim. So it's obvious that the understanding of Yisrael, the presence of Nevi'ahs within them, of what it means to be a Mamleches Kohanim and a Goy Kadosh, and what it means, Ein Elohim Ki'im Bi Yisrael, and so on, that's part of what we are, is part of Sefer Melachim. Later we'll see that way back when Elisha was already Mechaya, the child, he warns the mother to leave because of the Ra'av that is coming. So it was 7 years of Ra'av. So this is absolutely the worst possible situation in which they not only have a problem of Ra'av, they're also now besieged. And it got to the point, Ad hayod rosh chamor bishmonim keset. You could pay now $80 for the head of a dead chamor to eat. Verova hakava divyonim. We know whenever we talk about filthy words, cherionim is in Arabic, chara is the foreword for four-letter word that's used for excrement because it comes from the word for hole, chor. So that we always the tikkun sofrim changes lashon of cherion to divon. So dav means to flow, as opposed to char, which means out of your hole, which is disgusting. So the divyonim would mean the guano of yonim would be b'chamisha kesev. Now, what in the world anybody would pay five kesev? I mean, what are they going to do with one or the dove? Some say that that was the fuel. We talked about in the siege of Yerushalayim how important the fuel was to make whatever food they had edible. But others say that the main focus of here of the hunger was the fact that Aram was going around being mashchit everything. And in the very fact of there being mashchit, they were providing an immense amount of food for birds who didn't digest what all these seeds that they were eating, so that they would actually take the seeds from the gizzard of the birds or from the guano of the birds, which were not yet digested because they were eating so much. That's how some of the Mefarshim learned, and they would get the whatever edible seeds were left out of it. Now, of course, when it comes to coffee, people pay a heck of a lot of money for that. You know? Seriously, this is like the best coffee. Of course, it's monkeys, not birds, but it's all the same. Vayi melech Yisrael over alachomas. Here, the king is walking now along the choma, trying to give whatever minimal encouragement there is to what's left of his army and his population. Yoram. Vishat zakar lav lemor, Hoshia adonai melech. The woman cries out, he's sure that what she's saying is, save me, I'm starving. Vayomer, so he says, look, God can't save you. How am I supposed to save you? I mean, Agorin or Minayakev, where would you like me to give you? You want, maybe you want some bread, you want some wine? Sure, no problem. I mean, wave my magic wand. What are you crying out to me for? Cry out to the Lord. What's your problem? She obviously kept asking for help. No, I'm coming to you for justice. This woman, my friend, she persuaded me to kill my son yesterday, to eat him. So she said, so we'll eat your son today. We're all dying anyway. So we'll live as long as we can, reduce the cannibalism. And then tomorrow we'll take my son. So we cook my son, and we all eat him. And now it comes to the next day. I mean, obviously, we waited as long as we could. The next day that we need to eat, I say to her, okay, and then she goes, because the Medrash says, you think it means that she was saving his life. She had already cooked him, except that she was hiding because she wanted to eat him alone. The king hears what it is that she said, that like just put him over the edge. He tears his clothing. He's out there in public. His underclothes, he exposes, are made out of sackcloth. And that is the whole time they thought the king still retains hope and he's putting on a brave face. Now when he loses it, they say, oh my God, the guy's given up hope long ago. And he's dressed in sackcloth. He's basically mourning over the loss of everything. It's all hopeless. And now we really do get a sense of at least humanity in him. That he's trying, you know, sak ve'efer. I mean, the Medrash learns that from sak. We actually learn out from Yoram and Achav that ein adam chashuv rashai l'lvosh sak publicly, unless he's batuach, he's going to be nana, like Yoram ben Achav, can you imagine? That's like unbelievable. And indeed, because of this, because he was machnia himself, and so on, as we learn from there, v'nei sak al besoro. And the next thing we learn is that when it comes to Elisha, Elisha says tomorrow's the end of the Ra'av. So this is a Gemara. So Gemara says, somebody who's batuach, that he's going to be nana for the sak, he can be malvitzeri. The same din the guy be neifel alpono by tachana and lanim godol. If he's neifel alpono and he's not sure he's going to be answered, it's an embarrassment. Ki lo tchil Hashem. And he's neifel alpono and nothing happens. So there we learn out from Yoshua ben Nun, but to learn out from Yoram ben Achav, it's amazing. So here is like the first time that we get a sense of the inside by tearing him down to his underwear. Can you imagine? So that there's literally this, we need to expose what's in you because you never let it out. It's the first time there's anything that we see that this man is taking life seriously. And so sure enough, all along he's been in mourning. And this pushes him over the edge. He says, I swear to God, I am going to kill Elisha. So in other words, either he literally sees this as his fault, because he was the one who said, let's not get rid of Aram. We could have taught them a lesson. He sends them back with a party. He's as bad as my father Achav, sending off the melech with a party. Or, I mean, the deeper, of course, is that Lamaisa, the Navi, is bekeche to be matzil, to be mispalo, and he's obviously not being mevakish rachamim. So he says, Vayomer ko yasele Elohim v'cho yosif im yamod rosh elisha ben shafat ala vayom. This is the first time, understand, this has been going on for 7 years. This rav. The war, who knows how long it was going on, it was 3 years. And finally, he's ready to admit that he needs Elisha. You understand how all along we saw from the beginning when Naaman sent, when Ben-Hadad sent the pure Naaman, tears his clothes, oy vavoy. He's not even going to acknowledge that there's a Navi that should be Negea his Malchus. This is the first time that we see him acknowledging a Navi is when he says, I'm going to kill him. This is amazing. Okay? I'm going to kill him. Now, meanwhile, Elisha is Yoshev Beveto. Ve'azekenim Yoshvim Ito. Now, you'll notice he is not sitting together with his Talmidim. He's sitting with the Zekenim. He's not in the yeshiva with the Bnei Hanavim. So, Enachinami. Some of the Mepharshim was sitting dafka with the Zekenim because when Achav, who was the father, the murderer of Nevot, went ahead to murder Nevot, he got the Zekenim. She got the Zekenim, Zevel, to go along with it. He went, so he gathers the Zekenim, he's listening here. You should know this guy's going to do the same thing as his father. He's going to try to paskin some kind of taina against me. I'm telling you right now. So, b'terem yavo amalakala, before the messenger came from Yoram, u'hu amal ha-Zekenim ha-Re'item, you see? Kishalach ben ha-Meratzeach hazeh, that murderer's son, Achav's son, he's also a murderer. So he also has figured he's got a way la'asirat roshi, because he wants to cut off my head. Re'u. Now I'm telling you what to do. Re'u kivo amalach. As the messenger comes, slam the door in his face. Ulachatstem oto badera. Let him push against the door. Because what's happening is that the king is following. And that's what we need here. Halo kol ragle adonav acharav. His master's footsteps are behind him. Odenu medaberim am. As he's speaking with them. Vinei amalach yored elav. The malach comes to the door. Vayomer. So this is Vayomer the melech who now appears after that. He shouts out to him. Hinei zot hara'ami et adunai. This is the last possible klola v'achalta pri bitnecha v'matzor v'matzok. I mean, this is like the end. So what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? Malchil adunai od. We've gotten to this state. This is almost like a Holocaust time. You know, if this is God, and this is what he's let us come to, what hope do I have in God? What am I going to do? I have nothing to do. What are you telling me to be mispalo? Why have nothing to be mispalo? If you have something to do, now we need to continue because it's absurd here where they ended the parak. It's absolutely crazy. So today's parak in Tanakh is parak Zion in Malachim Beit. But I mean, there's a limit, you know. Vayomer Elisha, okay, so you think it has nothing to do with you, and I'm telling you that it's the very fact that you've come to this state, and now you're acknowledging that you're coming to it. You could have come to me years ago, my friend. Don't ask me, Ma'ochil Hashem. You could have done tshuva shleima, instead of putting sak al besorcha. So you're asking, what can I hope? I'll tell you what you can hope. Shimu dvar Adonai. Now you want to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. Ko amar Adonai ka'et machar. This time tomorrow, se'as solet b'shekel, anybody will be able to buy an entire bushel of the finest flour for one shekel. And you get satayim of barley b'shekel, right here in the Shar Shomna. Vayana shalish asher lamelech nish'an al yado. And so, the right-hand man of the king was in charge. He answers him on the spot at Isha Elohim, and he says to him, like hell, Vayomer, hinei Adonai oseh arubot b'shamayim. You know, I don't care if God would open up entire storage rooms in the sky and pour it down here. You know perfectly well that something like that is impossible. So you think we're not going to cut off your head because you're giving us some kind of weird neviyut? It's impossible such a thing. Just like every single time that we find that there was a ziluta against Nevi'ims, the immediate response of both Eliyahu and Elisha was death. There was absolutely no, you could do whatever you want, but not be mezalzel in aviz. So whether it's bears killing children, or whether it's Aish coming down in a shemayim and burning up a whole pluga of soldiers, what, there's no, absolutely no quarter given for anybody who expresses doubt about the whole metzias of nevias. Ke'ekazi is coming back, no quarter given. Vayomer, okay, that's what you believe. You'll live just long enough to see it with your eyes, but not long enough to get one bit of it in your mouth. Misham lo tochel.